Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. A little sports dirt today. Fernando Mendoza of the Indiana Hoosiers, the national championship team.
Mendoza!
Who is going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, has said he won't be at the draft at the end of the month. He's not going.
Oh, what?
Surprising, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, I mean, the draft has become such a spectacle.
I bet the NFL's not happy that he won't be there.
No, I would be livid.
He's the number one overall pick.
Now, we have seen this more, I feel like.
I like it.
I do, too.
I like it. He wants to spend time with his family and be there for the moment in Miami, where he lives or where he's from. And so his family will be all surrounding him. I have no problem with this whatsoever. And yet, now, I've talked with people before who do have a problem with it. They think it's like, it's the first day of your employment and you need to be there to sign your contract or to be there for your employer, which will be the Raiders when they pick him.
Yeah.
At the end of the month.
Now, the draft is in Pittsburgh this year. I don't know if that plays a role.
I don't think so. I mean, every team has fans there. I mean, the Steelers will have the most.
But yeah.
It doesn't matter. They all go, you know, except for him. He's not going.
I demand it.
You demand it?
Yeah. I mean, if there's one picture you want. Mm-hmm. It's your first pick on the stage with the commissioner, period. I mean, I know you can't.
You can't make them.
You can't make them do it, and you can't make the team say who you're going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me now. I want to make sure, but.
Even if they did, until he signs his contract, I don't think you can make him do anything.
No.
True, but some of the most iconic draft pictures are of players at the house.
Yeah.
Like Brett Favre when he was laying on his bed.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders when he had all that gold on.
It's different now.
Yeah,
you want them because the draft is a spectacle, way more so now.
But this is so on par for Mendoza, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just preaches to the kind of character that he has. I want to be with my family. I want everybody that I love to be around me for this moment.
I love it.
He's not going to be around his family for holidays for the next however many years he's playing.
Exactly.
He's going to be playing a game.
He might not. He might just say.
Not the Raiders. They won't be playing on Christmas.
Oh, no. Excuse me, sorry.
Unless they get good with him.
Mm-hmm.
He could say, I'm skipping this game to be with my family. I refuse to play.
I like how you're going to let that slide.
I'm joking around on that. I would never do that. Although, you know, of course, NBA play, you know, we always talk about load management. It's like the NFL. The NBA's load management is like the NFL saying, okay, Mahomes, you're not playing five games this season. You know, there's 17 games. You're not going to play five of them to rest you for the playoffs, which, of course, is never done.
I want my first draft pick there on the stage with the commissioner holding up the jersey. I don't want to see Mendoza hugging his mom.
I bet it's a more iconic photograph. It could be, like B.B. Shea saying, it can be just as iconic if he's there hugging his mother. You know they'll have a camera on him. You know what would really be something if he said, no cameras. I want a private moment with my family in my home.
I'd look at the Raiders and be like, don't draft him.
Leave him. Mm-hmm. Leave him for somebody else.
Yeah.
And then the Jets wind up with him if they.
I don't know. I just love that, the idea of your top 10 at least.
Well, you know, one reason I'm just fine with it is because there was a day when I used to watch it in the 90s where some were there and some were not. You know, it's like I remember one guy who was going to be a top pick. Went fishing, and he's like, I don't care anything about this. You know, I'm going to be out on a fishing boat. And some camera followed him to the boat, and he was on the boat and, you know, got word later that he had been picked by somebody in the top five. And I never have had a problem with that. You know, the draft, and look, I'm guilty of it. It's so overblown. I mean, I watch it. I'm the one that, like, an idiot stays up late.
You'll get more. You always do this. This is what I call the ramp up.
I know.
Because you're doing the whole, I don't know why I do this. I don't know. But on draft day, you're going to have your sheet ready. You're going to have your picks. You're going to be up to 11.
I always do that. Although the Broncos don't have a first round pick this year, my team. So I'm
okay.
I can go to bed earlier if I want to. But many years in the past, see, it used to be too, even when I started watching the NFL draft, it was on Saturday and Sunday. It was great. I mean, your whole Saturday, you sit in front of the TV. We used to play cards because it was the perfect thing to play cards in front of. You didn't have to pay close attention to it, but still have it on. Mm-hmm. And when your team's up, you stop every 10 minutes and say, okay, who's being picked here? Then they moved it to a Thursday night, which, God, give it to the NFL. They will make a spectacle out of it. They make draft day. They make the combine now a spectacle. Yesterday, now this is not necessarily the NFL, but Joey Chestnut ate cake with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
weird team meeting.
Yeah. Joey Chestnut, the world's most famous eater, the winner of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Contest umpteen times, was eating cake to try and break a record with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he did it. The cake was cut into pieces that were like a pound and a half each, and he wound up in 5 minutes eating 20-plus pounds of cake.
Oh, my God.
And I saw the video. It was chocolate on chocolate with, like, thick icing, and he ate all that cake yesterday.
Look, I love cake, clearly.
God, me too.
But that's a chocolate on chocolate and 20 pounds of it?
He ate more, I think, than all the other players combined.
He did. We have audio from it. He ate more than, and all the other Buccaneers, there are several of them, eating the cake. And Chestnut, well, he's like a bottomless pit. We'll ask you.
He's also trained for years.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Jeff, you're talking about Mendoza not being at the draft. Pro or con, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely a family man, but he's also a mama's boy. And his mother is wheelchair bound.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
She was at the Heisman, and she was at the championship game. But they made a big deal about the father, both of them, not getting up when he scored and all that. That's because the dad would actually stay down with her.
God, that's like something I would do as the play-by-play announcer. Why is he not standing with? Why is the wife?
My God,
they're not cheering on their child.
And currently, I'm that NFL official who's like, not coming, but he wants to sit with his mama. Ban him. Don't pick him. Now I'm the a-hole.
Jeff, would you agree that Biggie is the a-hole?
That's not what makes him the a-hole.
Can we speak to you privately, Biggie? Hi, his mom's in a wheelchair. Well, how am I supposed to know that? She didn't ever get up.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Remember when I don't know why this flashed in my mind. When Biden was president, he was honoring somebody. He's like, come on, stand up here on the stage. Like, he's in a wheelchair. The worst. The absolute worst. Come on now. Get him up here.
I don't think we have any sound clips of this, but did you see President Trump at the Easter egg roll?
No, that was Monday, right?
Yeah, he was commenting some. He was surrounded by children. He was signing, I believe, eggs for children.
Yeah.
And he took the time to say, you know, Biden had an auto pen. And these kids are like 4 years old, 5 years old. And he's like, you know what an auto pen is? It's a machine. And he would have it behind him. And not for me. I'm going to sign all these. You hear the kids like, uh-huh.
He's trying to teach them while they're young.
Yeah. Right. One of the best moments. That and when he was talking about bombing Iran with the Easter bunny next to him. Have you seen that? Yeah. By the way, they say it's Marco Rubio inside the costume.
Little saying, Marco in there.
Yeah, they're saying that's actually Marco Rubio with a new job again. But he's just standing there. We're going to obliterate him. And this poor Easter bunny guy is like, yeah, well, anyways, let's start the roll.
You know, the first time he did the Easter egg roll, there were, again, little kids are standing next to him, and he's like, thank God Hillary Clinton's not here. She's so crooked, I'm going to put her behind bars. Yeah. The kids are like,
An auto pen. It's a machine. It's signed automatically.
I've seen that auto pen reference so many times. I know you're a Fox News man now because that's what you have.
I do.
So I've seen that auto pen reference so many times. I'm really not positive what it is. Is it just something you just put it on a piece of paper and it signs it for you? What
I don't know either.
I've never understood it.
Because now I want to see the machine. Yeah. I wonder who was dragging the machine behind Biden.
Yeah, I think it's essentially the concept of like stamping a signature.
Yeah.
I've never seen it in motion, but I think that's kind of it takes his signature.
Yeah. They're very critical of it on Fox News, of the auto pen.
Yeah, they hate it.
Yeah, but like, would a celebrity use it if they're signing autographs, which are really not done anymore? It's more selfies now. But if Taylor Swift is going to sign 10,000 gold records, would she use an auto pen? How does that work?
So does
it count as a signature then? I guess it does.
I don't think a whole lot of celebrities use that.
I don't either.
I searched auto pen. Of course, the first thing that pops up is a Fox News article about Biden using an auto pen. It does look like a machine.
But it signs his name.
Yeah.
So what they were saying was he was so feeble he couldn't even sign his own name.
Exactly.
And to pass laws.
And Fox News is saying, did he sign legislation with an auto pen? Because then it's not real.
And does it count if you sign with an auto pen, right?
Mm.
I hope Marco Rubio was inside that costume. That is really, if he took off
the
that.
The things they've done with that now is great. Because they've taken the internet is undefeated, as always.
Right.
But you know that classic meme of Ben Affleck smoking where he looks like He's up. His foot's up against the wall. He's like, ugh.
Yeah.
They've taken that with Marco with the Easter Bunny helmet off with a cigarette and been like, you know, Marco Rubio at this point. Oh my God. All right, Marco, put on the Easter costume. No, not the Easter.
That's the Secretary of State they're making fun of in there. Here's Joey Chestnut with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh my God. I'm shaking.
Those are the Bucks. Cheering for him.
I think we gave him a run for his money. Absolutely. He's a heck of an athlete, man. He's the greatest of all time for a reason. They don't call Joey the Jaws Chestnut for no reason.
You're right.
And we saw that firsthand today.
That was impressive.
Those are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers talking about Joey the Jaws Chestnut, who ate 20 pounds of cake in 5 minutes, chocolate on chocolate with a thick icing, and did indeed beat all of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There were like five of them there, and he beat all of them in those.
One of them said we gave him a run for his money. No, you didn't.
Well, all combined, they got close maybe, but he ate 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Would you rather eat 20 pounds of chocolate cake like that or all those hot dogs? It was like 70 hot dogs.
Cake.
I don't know. I take the hot dogs.
I think that's easier because the cake, the hot dogs, they dunk in water. From what I saw of the cake, he was just shoving it in.
I think the cake's got so much sugar, like lock your jaw up.
Man,
I don't know. See, this is how I was picturing, though. I thought the cake would be softer, so you wouldn't have to chew. You just
take it down.
Yeah. But I don't think he does a lot of chewing anyway. Doesn't he just kind of inhale his food?
The hot
dog. He opens it up.
It's so quick on the hot dog. Yeah. I mean, he takes those, and he dunks the buns in water and everything. It looks terrible.
Ugh.
You ought to do that for one of your hot dog reviews. Do it chestnut style.
Oh, eat it as quickly as possible.
Listen, save these ideas. It's the 250th anniversary of America.
Oh, right.
I think we just have our 4th of July special.
Yeah, do a
BB Shea, chestnut and some hot dogs.
Chestnut and hot dogs. Yeah, I like that.
Close the parking lot, sell tickets.
You could do something like that. One more piece of sports dirt. Keith Hernandez, who was a player for the St. Louis Cardinals and then more famously the New York Mets, and maybe most famously is on one episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, yes.
Is that the JFK? It is. It's the JFK episode of Seinfeld. One of the great Seinfeld episodes of all time. 1992 is when the episode aired. And he was asked recently, how much money do you still make yearly? Do you still get residuals from that one show? Now, he's on screen for 6 minutes of Seinfeld. He's in three scenes in Seinfeld. And here's what he says. Now, how many years is that later? 34 years later.
How much was your last Seinfeld residual?
Well, it varies. I can tell you what on an annual basis what it is.
Sure.
It's close to $5,000 still.
That episode was like 30 years ago. That is amazing.
I understand. But remember one thing. I was the guest star.
The guest star gets money, so he makes $5,000 a year from the show.
I was going to say, because there's actually some pretty fascinating like TikToks and Instagram reels of actors who have had bit parts in shows, like extras, and they open their residual checks. And it is fun because they get still like 30 checks a month, and it's like anywhere from 17 cents to $7. And it says what episode. He must have had, because he was a guest star, maybe a better deal, because $5,000 is shocking when you see the rest of these things.
Well, he says, don't forget, I was the guest star. So maybe that's what
that means. There must be something more involved.
Listen, I toured Francis Bavier's home.
Speak on it.
You know Francis Bavier.
Of course.
Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, that's her name.
Francis Bavier played Aunt B. I toured her home. All right, I got an exclusive tour of her home.
After she died, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure she was a shut-in.
Yeah, she was.
I heard she was a mean lady.
Horrible.
Yeah.
From what I hear, she was a horribly mean. She was always mean to Andy Griffith.
Yeah. She was like me, but before. Yeah. She didn't leave her home. Terribly mean lady.
She's a shut-in, too. Biggie has one dog. She has 26 cats. Yes. They were all, seriously. She had a car in the driveway that, like, all four tires were flat because she never drove it. That's true. And people would come to her door, and she'd just yell at them and be mean.
She was living the dream, and she probably didn't even know it.
She loved it. Yeah, she'd by herself. She was Biggie before Biggie was Biggie.
She hated Pete because everyone wanted her to be Aunt B.
And she wasn't.
And she wasn't.
Not even close.
And she hated, you know, after being Aunt B.
That must be annoying, being the only thing people know you for.
Well, Andy Griffith said she was horrible on set. I mean, really difficult to deal with. Just like Biggie.
Well, I've heard Andy wasn't all that easy to deal with either.
Oh, he's tough.
Yeah, he didn't like people making jokes and playing around on set.
There's a couple of scenes.
Much like Chris Kelly.
Yeah, that's why you like it so much.
There's a couple of scenes shows where he has like a cast on his arm, and they had to make up something like, oh, like Aunt B says, Andy, what happened to your arm? He's like, oh, I was tussling with a prisoner. Well, really, he had punched a wall. He was so mad.
He
broke his.
You know why I'm mad, Bouvier.
On a side note, I loved your impression of Aunt B.
Oh, Andy. Yeah, he's always done that well.
That's right. My dad took me to Frances Bouvier's home, and she had residual checks laid out, or they were laid out right shortly after she died, and they were for what you just said, 15 cents, 25 mm-hmm. cents. And she was in many episodes.
There's one guy who's great. He gives you the description of the episode. He's like, oh, this is from Bones, mm-hmm. season 3. Mm-hmm. I played the guy who was shot by Bones at the 18-minute mark, mm-hmm. and the check is $1.78.
And do they add up? I mean, Aunt B's still on television.
Well, that's kind of what this guy would say, because they're still paper checks.
Yeah.
You would think that the studios at this point would just direct deposit.
Just Venmo me, man.
So he, yeah, exactly. So he would always wave the checks like, heading to the bank today to cash in all my residual checks.
Do you think Aunt B's family still gets the check? I mean, she is still on television.
I mean, I guess her estate might, maybe.
I'm wondering about that. I have no idea about that. But anyway, Hernandez, Keith Hernandez, because he was the guest star, $5,000 per year is what he makes.
That's really good.
On that Seinfeld scene. Yeah.